On this July 4th Sunday, we certainly have wanted to acknowledge and celebrate the freedom that we've been blessed with in this country. But in the same sense, and probably more important, we want to focus on and celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ over sin. And some of you may be aware that this past week I sent an email out to individuals asking them to reflect upon the freedom that they have in Christ and also to try to remember back to a point in time in their life when they were not experiencing that freedom. In fact, just the opposite was their reality, and that reality would be slavery and bondage. And listen, as I share from one of those emails that came in this week. This individual says, "Here's what slavery looked like for me. I was involved in sexual relationships while in high school. I wanted to get out of them, but I chose to have sex every time I had the chance. I would then feel terribly guilty and vow to God that I would try harder not to do it next time. I would, of course, fail and then start the whole guilt cycle over again. It just turned into sex, guilt, shame, vow to God not to do it again, but inevitably the cycle would repeat itself." Maybe some of you can relate to that. You sin. You feel guilty. You feel shame. You vow to God not to do it again. And yet the cycle repeats itself. For each one of us, the specific sin that we struggle with might be different. But my guess is that all of us in this room can resonate with that cycle. And yet this morning we're singing about and we're celebrating the freedom that we have in Christ over sin. But yet if we're honest, we don't necessarily experience that freedom day to day. How do we get to the point that this week we will be able to experience and celebrate that freedom over sin that is in Christ? Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 6. We're going to camp out there for the morning, so I encourage you to turn there. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, just past the halfway point in your Bibles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 6. As you turn there, I do want to highlight our upcoming sermon series. It's found in your bulletin. And we're going to be doing a series on wrestling with today's tough issues. Pastor Jim, Pastor Todd, and myself have been looking forward to this series and have been putting thought and time and preparation for that. So I wanted to let you know where we'll be going with the summer series the month of July. And hopefully you'll be able to come back and join us in the next couple of weeks. But this morning, we want to again focus on the freedom that is ours in Christ. So follow along as we read from Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sins, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In this passage, Paul contrasts slavery to freedom. This analogy would have been very familiar with the Roman Christians that Paul would have been writing to. The ancient Romans were well known for their slavery. It usually took two forms. Some of their slaves were enemies that had been captured, but other slaves had voluntarily become slaves. They've placed themselves underneath someone's care in order to have food and a place to stay. So within this context, Paul explains how to experience the freedom that Christ died for, the freedom from slavery. As we think about this morning, how do we experience the freedom that is spoken about in the Scriptures that we want to celebrate this morning? How do we experience that? Where we need to begin is with the truth that's found very clearly here in Romans chapter 6. We need to understand the paradox and to recognize that sin leads to slavery and bondage. Sin leads to slavery and bondage. Why is that a paradox? Think about that. That sin leads to slavery and bondage. But before we come back and focus on that, I want us to look at the following verses that speak to this truth. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." Romans 6:17, we see the phrase again, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obey the form of teaching to which you were entrusted." And Romans 6:20, "When you were slaves to sins, you were free from the control of righteousness." We see this phrase throughout Romans 6, slaves to sin. In 2 Peter, Peter also references this truth and reality in the lives of believers. Look at Romans or 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. He's referencing false teachers. He says, "They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity, slaves of sin. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him." Think about that. A man is a slave to whatever has master over him. What controls you? Who do you serve? Who has control over you? Or maybe, what do you serve? Jesus, in John chapter 8, verse 34, also spoke to the same truth, the same reality. John chapter 8, verse 34, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Do you understand the paradox? People say, "I'm going to be free. I'm going to be free from God and His commands. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be free from answering to God and His commands." But what happens when they choose that freedom? They begin to give in to their lustful, fleshly, selfish desires. That freedom leads to slavery, leads to bondage. Let me read another email and give an example of what that looks like to an individual that is part of the CBC family. She writes, "I can tell you that being a slave to sin for me came in many forms due to the choices I was making in my life. In the beginning, those were choices," and she puts choices in bold print, "but as time passed, they were no longer choices, but things that I had to do. I was a slave to my addictions. For years, I struggled with addiction to drugs, mainly heroin, cocaine, and alcohol. I remained enslaved, taking the drugs to function, drinking to deal with my stress, and remaining entrapped by the guilt I felt as the result of the mess that I had made of my life. Being a slave to sin was where I stayed for years and years. It was a very sad time in my life, and until recently, And then she has in parentheses, 8 months sober from alcohol. I was a slave to the addiction of the drugs and alcohol for far too long. But here I am in bold print, free. And although I will fight this battle every day of my life for the rest of my life through the grace of God, at least I get the chance to do it. But this morning, we need to recognize that the addiction, the slavery, the bondage that comes with sin isn't simply connected to alcohol. I have a rather lengthy email from an individual that talks about being enslaved to pornography. Listen to what this individual says as he thinks about what had master and control over him. He says, I think before a couple of months ago, when I heard God calling me, I was a slave to everything worldly. If it was bad, it was in my mind, and I went along with that for a long time. But what stands out the most is that I was a slave to what everyone thought of me. I bet all of us wrestle with that. I was a slave to what everyone thought of me. Did they think I was smart enough? Rich enough, everything. I wanted to be thought of as the one. Now I look back and see my life as the set of an old Western movie. And listen to his analogy. It looks real from the front, but look around the back and all there is a facade. So I guess I was a slave to my image. I was a slave to my image. This morning, as you think about your life, think about whether or not you're experiencing freedom in Christ. Who do you serve? What do you serve? What has control over you? This individual says, who did I serve? Myself. I did what I wanted and served myself. It used to always be what was about best for me, regardless of the outcome. She goes on to say, I was also a slave to fashion and the gotta have it. There's a lot of elements in our lives that we're free to participate in. We sung about free to dance, free to sing. We're free to have a good time. But at the same time, we need to recognize when something begins to have master and control over us, we're not serving God, we are serving it or someone. Back to Romans chapter 6. What else is Paul communicating to the believers there at Rome? He is communicating that they are free from sin. Look with me at Romans chapter 6, verse 18 and 22. He says, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. You have been set free. That is the reality for every single believer. Do you believe that? Victory is available to each one of us. That is what Paul wants these believers to understand. That's what God wants to understand this morning. No matter how defeated you feel this morning, no matter how hopeless you feel this morning, no matter how much you've been caught in that cycle of, I'm not going to do it again, and then you give in, and then you're filled with guilt and shame. Regardless of how long you've been in that cycle, for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, Christ lives in us. We have His Spirit dwelling in us because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His indwelling power. Victory is available. We are free from sin. But why is it that we don't experience that freedom? As I wrestled with that, I came across an analogy that I think was helpful for me. What happened, make sure I get my date right here for those history buffs, September 22nd, 1862. Anybody know? Emancipation? I can't even say it. Proclamation. The slaves were freed. On the first day of January, this is what Abraham Lincoln issued on that day. In the year of our Lord, 1863, all persons as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall then be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then thenceforward forever free. Let me continue to read. In a time after the final surrender of the Confederacy, the assassination of a president, and difficult political fight, the states ratified the 13th Amendment, which officially abolished slavery in America. On December 18th, 1865, the news swept across Capitol Hill, down the Shenandoah Mountains, over the Appalachians, along the back roads of the Carolinas, deep into the plantations of Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and in the cotton fields of Texas and Arkansas. The word was out. Slaves are free, at least officially. The practicality of that freedom was another matter. For those of you who know and studied history, what happened to many of those slaves? Even though they were free, many of them went back to what they were comfortable with, what they were familiar with, what was easy. And they continued to place themselves under their masters. They were free, but they didn't live from and walk out that freedom. Think about how that relates to our lives. In Christ, what's been made available to us is that we are free from sin, that we have opportunity to have victory in our lives. But yet so often we go back to what is easy, what is comfortable, what is familiar. That's a process that we wrestle with as long as we're here on this side of eternity. This morning I want to read another email that I received. This person says, "Not only did Christ free me from an eternity apart from Him, He also freed me from a lifestyle that was leading me down a path of destruction. I was truly a slave to my sin nature and served my fleshly desires. I was 14 years old when I had sex for the first time as a junior high student. I hung out with friends whose parents bought us alcohol and cigarettes. I lied, cheated, and stole. I could always find someone else who was worse than I was. So I created my own standards and was the center of my own little universe. I made some terrible choices and got away with most of them, which allowed me to keep a pretty good image. I took risks that but for the grace and mercy of God would have left me in a huge mess and ruined a lot of people's lives. I hurt people out of sheer selfishness and pride. As a sophomore in college, I remember vividly the night that God reached the depths of my heart and told me after all that I had done and who I had become that He was able and willing to wash it away. I could be spiritually made pure. Honestly, I had no idea how that could be possible, but I wanted it more than anything. I was so empty and was tired of running away from the pain and disappointment in life. I didn't want to be the life of the party anymore, at least not the parties I was used to." And here's what she says. Things didn't change overnight. In other words, she continued to go back to what she was familiar with, to what was easy. Even though she came to that point where she reached out, received the forgiveness that was in Christ, the Holy Spirit indwelled her. She was free. She had the ability to have victory over sin. But she says this, things didn't change overnight. But she also says, as God began renewing my mind and transforming my heart, I desired to live differently. For a while, I lived in a tug of war with my sin, wanting to have the best of both worlds. But over time, my heart and life had done an about turn. I didn't want the same things anymore. I began to care about the things that God cared about. You and I are free in Christ to have victory over sin. But you and I need to walk in that truth and that reality. But here again, we come back one more time. How do we experience that? Take a look at the third truth found in Romans chapter 6. We offer ourselves as slaves to God. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 19 say this. We can have them on the screen. Let me read them. Romans chapter 16. If you're in the Bibles, you can follow along. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? The phrase that I want to zero in is one. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves, here's the picture, you offer yourselves as a slave to righteousness. Romans 6:18 says this, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Slaves to righteousness. Think about that. What does that mean? Romans 6:19, Paul says this, I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer the parts of your body in slavery to righteousness, which leads to holiness. And then Romans 6:22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Paul is saying that you were slaves to sin, but now you are slaves to God. The path to you and I living in the victory that has been granted through Christ is we become slaves to God. We offer ourselves. It's not through trying harder. It's not through more determination. It's not through being more self-controlled. It's not through greater commitment. That is not the path. That path leads to the cycle of guilt, shame. The path out of that cycle, the path to experiencing your freedom in Christ, comes from dying to ourselves. Romans 12:1 speaks of laying ourselves, putting ourselves on the altar, becoming a living sacrifice. The path to freedom is dying to ourselves. I want to read two quotes by Dr. Swindoll. One is the first quote under point number one, and then we're going to come down and read the quote under point number three. He says, it is possible to be a slave to something and think you are free. Just take a moment there and think about that, because that's a sobering reality for each one of us. It is possible to be a slave to something, or I would say someone, and think you are free. He goes on to say, this is the predicament of the lost. They slavishly serve something they think will bring them fulfillment or eliminate their problems. Money, career, sex, relationships, adventure, power, notoriety, education, achievement, even addictions. The idols of this world are legion. I see people sacrifice to keep their God alive, and fear what life will be like if or when the object of their hope passes away. And I stand amazed at this inability to comprehend the extent of their slavery, all the while trying to convince themselves and others that life is good just the way it is. So when we live for ourselves, when we say, I'm going to be free, I'm not going to answer to God, it leads to slavery. Now look at the quote on number three. Slavery to God is the greatest freedom a human can ever know. Think about that. He goes on to say, when God created Adam and Eve, they perfectly bore their Creator's image. They lived in perfect harmony with their created purpose, which was to live in limitless communion with Him, to enjoy uninhibited intimacy with one another, and to rule over the rest of His creation as vice regents. Never was humankind so free as when they lived in harmony with their created purpose, or as Paul chooses to put it, slaves to righteousness. Christ's sacrificial death creates the potential for us to recapture some of the innocence and freedom of Eden. when we become slaves to God. That's when we experience the peace, the wholeness, the freedom that our hearts long for. It's the irony. I'm going to read one more email. This person says, "Hey, Jeff, when I think of what it meant to be a slave to sin, it reminds me to thank God for delivering me from my old lifestyle. For me, Satan's stronghold in my life was alcohol. In the early years of my life, alcohol was something I used in order to fit in with other people and gain acceptance with them. At first, I felt like I was in control of the alcohol use for the most part. But then as the time passed, I started relying on alcohol more and more. As the years went by, I started to recognize that I could no longer really control when I drank and how much I would consume. I was indeed a slave to this sin. I knew I needed to change, but felt so hopeless because of how I allowed the sin to consume me. Once I came to the point where I had absolutely no hope in trying to change myself, this is where God stepped in. Praise God for His grace, His mercy, and His long-suffering. Come to Him as you are, and He will change you from the inside out." Let me zero in on this phrase. "Once I came to the point where I had absolutely no hope in trying to change myself, that was when God stepped in." That was the moment when He said, "Okay, God, I can't do this. I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to be your slave. I surrender." And what God has done in this man's life over the past 2 or 3 years is amazing. And I emailed him back and I said, "Can I share with the congregation your name?" And he said, "Sure." And some of you may be familiar with him. His name is Adam Yoder. And as some of you are aware of, Adam left this June and went to Japan to live out his faith in Christ in the culture of Japan. And weeks before, we had made arrangements to talk by webcam and Skype this morning so that you can be praying for Adam. And there he is on the screen. And little did I know how his story was going to tie in with my message. So Adam, a couple years ago, when you were enslaved to alcohol, could you ever imagine that you'd be serving the Lord in Japan?
Never would have thought. God has done an amazing work, and I did feel trapped and hopeless, but like you had said, or I had said in the message, I tried and tried to change and stop, you know, using alcohol, and kept failing, which resulted in just being frustrated and discouraged, and came to a point where I had no idea what to do. I just said, "God, I'm done. Have your way with me." And that's, you know, 2 months later, I was at Word of Life studying His full time, and that's when He started to transform my life. So
that's awesome. What I want you to do, we just have a couple minutes here, but I want you to give people a little bit of a glimpse of what your summer is like there in Japan, and then share one or two ways that they can be praying for you.
Sure. Well, the first 2 weeks of my time here in Japan, I spent in Tokyo, and missionaries Kaz and Amy Kato is who we're staying with. Another gentleman, Paul Mackey, is with me from school. And Kaz is teaching us basics of what it looks like to live in Tokyo as a missionary, teaching us how to shop for groceries, to use the yen, to use the transportation, the bus and the train. We have bicycles. We actually ride around Tokyo on bikes, and it's a lot of fun, especially at night. You have to ride very aggressively in between cars. And I really enjoy that.
We won't tell your mother.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. The church I'm interning with is Dendokan Christ Mission Church. And they're really encouraging to see these people. They are a community, very committed. A lot of the young people, some of the young people travel 2 hours one way on the train just to come to church. A couple of the guys who have degrees and certain education have actually stepped down from their jobs, taking a less respected job and less paying job in order to be closer to the church that they can serve. So they're sacrificing a lot in a lot of different ways, and it's encouraging to see them live out what it means to be the church from a biblical standpoint, not just perform what it looks like to be involved. People in Japan are they're very hard to reach. They're very close-minded to the gospel because they've never heard of the name Jesus Christ before. In the West, people, have heard Jesus Christ, and they either curse or honor the name. But in Japan, they don't even know who Jesus Christ is. It's another cult or something. So it takes a lot of outside-the-box thinking to reach these people. And what we're focusing on is starting with the natives who are believers, and training and equipping them so that they can reach out to people in their workplace. And also, English is a major attraction to Japanese people, so we can use that as a tool to attract people to the church. And relationship building is huge. Without spending time with people, we're not going to reach them. So we have different outreaches, and we're putting on an English camp at the end of July, and I'll be teaching English. So that's the first 2 weeks. Right now I'm in SYME, which is School of Youth Ministries in English, in Karizawa, which is 2.5 hours away from Tokyo. It's in the countryside, very beautiful. You can see a volcano from here. And it's 18 students, both Korean and Japanese students, who have come, some saved, some not saved, to study English, and we use the Bible to teach them English. So some people get saved here. But we teach them all the different aspects of the faith, and the whole purpose is to prepare them to go to America to study at Word of Life or some other college. So I'm here now, and I have another month here in Japan, and that's pretty much what's been happening.
Tell you what, give us one thing that we can be praying for you about.
You could pray just that God would grow my heart for people, and that I would just be discerning, and how, as I think through where God will use me in the future, I want to be used where I'll be the most effective, whether that be here or the States or somewhere else. I don't want to waste my life like I did. I just want to be used where I can be used the most effective and just be sold out for the cause of Christ, and that's it. So,
thanks a lot. Let's show our appreciation to Adam. Can you wave goodbye?
Bye.
Thank you. In your bulletins, if you want to follow Adam's ministry in Japan, he has a blog, and that blog is listed in your bulletins. So I'd encourage you to check it out, keep updated with what Adam is doing through the ministry there in Japan. But this morning I want to come back again to Romans chapter 6. As we think about our freedom in Christ, if we're going to experience that and celebrate, we need to understand that what we think in terms of freedom, doing what we want, ultimately leads to slavery and to bondage. But we also need to recognize that because of Christ and what He's accomplished on the cross, and because of His indwelling Spirit within us, we do have the opportunity to have victory and freedom over sin. But that freedom and victory comes as we surrender, as we offer ourselves to God. What is God saying to you this morning? On the back of your bulletin inserts, they hand out this morning, I have some questions. And we're going to have the worship team come back out. And they're going to sing through a couple of the verses, Trust and Obey. And as they sing through those verses, I want you to think upon these questions. I want you to be asking yourself, God, what are you trying to say to me this morning?
sheds on our way. What we do is goodwill. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Step out and step back.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey.
Join and sing with us.
Trust and obey. No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy. Sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no
close the service with a little bit more up-tempo Victory in Jesus in F.
Let's go.
And that's worth celebrating this morning. If I can have Colin and Lauren Gingrich join me on the platform for the closing prayer. They have their own fan club. This Wednesday, they are going to be going with Brad and Rebecca Howe down to the jungles of Brazil. And so they are going to need our prayers. So I wanted to introduce them to you and encourage you to be praying for them. They will be gone about 6 weeks, and we'll be serving with Brad and Rebecca. So let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all that we can celebrate this morning. Lord, we are thankful for the blessings and the freedom that we have in this country, Lord. And we know that you are the giver of all good gifts, Lord. So we thank you for all that we have made available to us in this country. But also, Lord, we're thankful that you have also made available to us freedom, Lord, that we can be free from the bondages of sin. Lord, we pray that you would help us to not go back to what is comfortable, what is easy. But, Lord, that we would surrender ourselves to you, that we would offer ourselves, our bodies, our lives, our futures into your hands so that we can experience true life, true freedom, true joy, true peace. We're thankful again, Lord, all that's been made available to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful that Lauren and Colin, that you're going to be going with them. And Lord, we pray that they would be able to serve, whether it's Brad and Rebecca or the people there in that village, out of the overflow of their hearts, out of the overflow of their walks with you. We pray that you would draw them close to you, that you would continue to lead and guide them. Lord, we also thank you for Adam and all that you've done in his life. Thank you for calling him to Japan this summer. And Lord, may you continue to lead and guide him and show him, Lord, the plans that you have for him. Thank you, Lord, for the plans that you have for each of us this coming week. May we experience and celebrate your freedom. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.